What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the sixth episode of the Secure D podcast. Just quickly, I want to get out there that this weekend I am traveling up to Sydney for the Trainer Container event at West Point Shopping Centre. So this Saturday and Sunday, the 21st and 22nd of March, I'll be doing live painting demos and talking people through the custom process. There's also a bunch of cool and limited edition custom and regular sneakers on display. So that's this weekend at West Point. If you're in Sydney, come down and check it out. You also have the chance to enter a competition to win a free pair of customs by me. All you have to do is go to the West Point website or Facebook page and in 25 words or less, tell us what your favorite or dream custom would be. You're going to have to be a New South Wales resident to enter, so I apologize if you're not. But if you are, it's a pretty cool opportunity to get some, to score some free customs. So that's going to be a lot of fun. This episode of the podcast is with my very good friend, Anthony Costa, first time guest. We became mates about 8 or 10 years ago when he worked at Slam Hype, and he later went on to work at Sneaker Freaker and is now a sports design and branding expert, knows a ton about all sorts of different things. And one thing that we have in common outside of shoes and fashion is we both grew up and loved professional wrestling. So there's a professional wrestling vibe in today's podcast. We quickly go over a few things like our listeners' question of the week and the release of the P-Rod ones and a few other bits and pieces. But today's focus is definitely on wrestling. So it's like subculture. So it should be, it's a bit of fun if you ever watch wrestling, grew up with it and enjoyed it. I think a lot of the people that collect sneakers in our age bracket will fall into the wrestling market. So we talk about, you know, dream wrestler collabs, actual wrestler collabs, and then, you know, sneakers that have been worn in ring by competitors. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Remember, if you have any questions or any suggestions for topics, please hit us up on Twitter with the hashtag TheSecureDPodcast. And if we use your topic, we'll shout you out in the next episode. Hope you enjoy, guys. All right, sweet. What's happening, dude?
Man, this and that. This and that. Just stoked to be on the Secure D show, on the podcast.
Oh, thanks.
Live on location in my living room.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much for joining me. I don't think I have too many other friends that could cover the topics we're going to do today, so I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah. I think James would probably be the only other person who could do this with us. So basically today, as you probably would have heard in the intro, we're going to do a lot of wrestling topics, sneaker wrestling topics specifically. But before we get into that, I just wanted to quickly reference something that dropped yesterday, which is the P-Rod 1. First time Nike's done an official, Nike SB have done a like true retro that isn't just like a reverse release or like an up, a high of a low. It is something Nike said they never do, but the P-Rod 1 is my favorite SB. Yeah, I know. It's my favorite SB of all time. So, I mean, when it comes to model of shoe. So, I'm happy to see it back. And it's the first shoe that I did a custom on that got a lot of press. I did like a Paragon P-Rod 10 years ago and I've still got it. So, it's going to be cool to have the shoe that I painted again in original form. So, like, when I do displays or talks and stuff, I can use it. I can have, like, this is what I turned this into, which will be fun. So, as much as I see it, I like seeing it back, though. I kind of like the idea of never retroing SBs, which I think I've gone into a few times. Do you like the P-Rod 1? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I do. I don't have vivid memories of it, but, you know, I guess it was new, and that was just when Nike was starting to, you know, establish itself as a skate brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd had a few misfires, and that's, you know, the P-Rod 1 was a shoe that did it for them.
Yeah, true.
That actually, you know, actually got them to be a legit skate company.
Yeah, and it had that collab with Jordan brand, the J-Rod, which I spent like 3-4 years trying to find, which I couldn't to this day. I still don't have a pair, but I think I have 9 or 10 pairs of P-Rod 1s. I have just about every like colorway that released, minus the J-Rod. So maybe I'll have to commence the hunt for that again. What a transition, because I finally found something that I've been looking for 4 years, which I've annoyed listeners with in 3 or 4 podcasts already, which is the Goonies Puma Disc. I finally managed to purchase a pair. The 4 year hunt, the Goonie-esque hunt for the Goonies discs is finally over.
Well, this is your mic drop moment.
Yeah, like, I know.
Where do you go from here?
Yeah, well, I guess now it's the J-Rod. Like, I think, like, I'm so excited to finally have this shoe.
You've climbed every mountain.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so obsessed with this shoe. It's not even funny. It's landed in Melbourne. It's in a sorting facility at the moment, so I should have it in the next day or two.
It's been a Goonie-esque adventure.
It really has. It has been
been a caper.
It has been a multiple country, like multiple language hunt online with alerts set up on all kinds of like search formats, and like it finally popped up a week ago. And I could not be more excited. I emailed everyone I knew at Puma to tell them. I'm going to set, it's a bit of a spoiler, but on my Instagram this week, you can expect to have a picture of me photoshopped on Pride Rock from the Lion King. But instead of Simba, I'm going to be holding the Puma disc. I'm going to photoshop that up this week. And then, just cue the Lion King
this
music.
This actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait. I'm 100% doing that. So, I'm super stoked that I got that. And another thing I wanted to reference as well this week was I think I forgot the listener question last week. The listener question this week is from Chris, I hope I get it right, Abrahams at Big Time on Twitter. And his question is, how do you display your kicks, or are they in boxes? I don't know about you, but I used to display shoes, and then just with lighting conditions and stuff and the risk of them going yellow and then running out of space, I keep everything in their box now. I remember the style code, so I don't have to worry about what's in the box. I can sort of just tell from the box. But yeah, displaying shoes is only something I did like the first 2 or 3 years of buying shoes. I don't have space in my place to display shoes anymore.
Who does? Yeah. Well, when I was writing for Sneaker Freaker, we found some of the most incredible display rooms created just for sneakers. You know, be they derelict basements in Detroit, or they would fashion their living room into an actual retail space.
It felt
like a mall. And some guys would even get like signage.
Yeah.
Like Adidas original signage, a big blue disc in the center of their living room. And it's like, dude, get a chair.
Yeah.
You know, how about you, you know, get some furniture.
How about you get another couch?
Bed.
Yeah.
Get a bed.
You know what? Talking about signage, I don't know if I should make this public or not, but I have the big swoosh off the side of the Smith Street factory store when it closed down.
I have a
huge swoosh in my storage. It's the size of a car. Yeah.
So this is this for when you move into your Nigo giant modernist loft space?
Yeah, but instead of like 45 murals of myself, I'm just going to have a huge swoosh. It's actually made out of this like really, I don't want to say it's like acetate. It's like some kind of plastic. But I'm convinced that if mounted properly, you could almost light it. Like I haven't tested it, but it's pretty cool. It's got all the right mountings, obviously, since it was on the side of the building to be able to be mounted. But has one or two minor cracks, but I can fix that. And it was going in the bin, and I was like, nah, taking that home. It was very, very difficult to get home, but I managed to.
How did you get it home?
Look,
I'm guessing not by tram.
No, like, so when I say it's the size of a car, it's not quite the size of the car. I had it from the front passenger seat was down all the way through the back of the boot, and then I had to tie the boot down. So it was like really hard. It took me like 45 minutes to get it in the car just because of the size of the swoosh and the angle, like pushing it through the back of the seat. It hit the dash, and then I had to tie the boot down.
Mm.
So the back seat luckily came down in the car, and that's how I got it home. And then I went on the Eastern Freeway, probably wasn't smart.
You wouldn't want to be in some sort of car accident.
With a giant swoosh?
He was impaled by a giant swoosh.
Yeah, like death by swoosh.
Yeah, it's what he would have wanted.
It's the way he would have wanted to go.
In boxes, display cabinets, I think it depends on whether you want to be in a meaningful long-term relationship. I think that's the final arbiter of you know, where your shoes go.
Yeah.
How they fit in your life.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, my girlfriend never had many shoes, and then she works, I don't want to say where she works, but she's totally into shoes now, which is hilarious because it used to be, I used to be like that as well, where I was like, well, I can't have 200 pairs of shoes in my bedroom anymore.
Mm.
Now my girlfriend has 100 pairs of shoes as well. Mm. And I'm just like, well, we can't have 300 pairs of shoes in the bedroom anymore. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now? So, all right, we'll move on to the wrestling topics for today before we get too far into just chatting, because there's quite a few that we've got to go over, and I've done a little bit of research this week because Laurie usually does a lot more research than me, and I get out-trumped. So basically, we're going to break it down to three different categories. The first is sneaker appearances in the ring. So sneakers that wrestlers have worn over the years, maybe in like iconic moments. Then there's the sneaker collabs that wrestlers have done. And then the final one is like dream wrestler collabs. So like, what would we want the Ultimate Warrior to get if he was to get a collab now? So, yeah, sneaker appearances in the ring. There is a ton of them. I was trying to do it off the top of my head. And obviously all the Cena ones and stuff pop up. But I think the most recent we'll start with is Batista. Because at WrestleMania 30, he wore the Jordan 28s. And then he wore the Kobe 9 masterpiece. And then you can go all the way back to when MVP was still in the WWE before he went to TNA. And they were all rocking like Kobe's and stuff. That was Kobe 4, so that was probably 5 years ago. So it seems like Batista's always rocking Jordans and
Does it ever look righty?
Not with tight jeans when you have a high cut shoe on. That's kind of weird. Or I still have issues with wrestlers who are still wearing like underwear. Like, you know, like the trunk, like traditional trunks. I think like
we've gone fronts.
Yeah, we've kind of gone a bit past that.
We've progressed. We've as
moved
a society.
On. Yeah, we've moved on. but like that, and then like Jordan 28s is really weird.
Yeah,
like it's like seeing a guy with like gym shorts on, and then like high cut. It just doesn't
didn't
work.
Didn't get
for
that
me.
Look at all.
No, I don't think it's right. What about you? Do you think of anything else for Batista? I think like they're the main ones. I mean, he's worn a bunch of random Jordans, but I can't think of too many others. Do you have any other like
in ring looks? The obvious one is probably John Cena because his shoes, when he started, he was rocking the pumps.
It was
an integral part of his gimmick.
It was the Omni pump.
He would actually the Omni pumps, and he would actually pump them up before he before he'd end matches.
That was back in the early 2003-2004 when he was still like hip hop, right? And he was rapping.
He was a Whitey Boy hip hop gimmick. And since then, he graduated to Jordans.
Yeah.
But now he's got his own shoe.
I looked into this. Yeah. So it's called the Never Give Up sneakers. And they're at Kmart. And they are god awful. They are god awful. Like, it's like the Gazers were for Australia. It's it's the American Gaze. That's what it is. It's horrible. One thing, I guess it's not a topic, but we can talk about now is like, I can't believe there isn't more sneaker collabs for wrestlers.
Well, this is the thing, because if you look at the history of wrestling, or the time that wrestling really takes off globally is the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Hulk Hogan is as much a pop culture icon
to
anyone growing up in that era as Michael Jordan was.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a parallel between the growth of wrestling and the growth of sneaker culture.
Definitely.
And, you know, there have been a few crossover points, but for someone who collects sneakers and is into sneakers, they're probably going to be as au fait with professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially in our age bracket, and we're the ones that are going out and buying a ton of sneakers.
That's it. And why are we buying sneakers? Because, well, one of the reasons is we're reliving our youth.
Yeah.
You know, we finally have access to something that we were deprived of.
Yeah, it's a grasp for nostalgia, right?
Totally, totally. And wrestling is a massive part of that for, you know, anyone their 30s.
Multi-billion dollar company. I mean, the universe is millions and millions strong.
Yeah.
It seems like the parallel isn't exactly there, but when Reebok endorsed the UFC recently, I had a conversation with someone and I was like, I just can't believe a brand hasn't jumped on
wrestling. I guess the kicker here is that the wrestlers don't wear sneakers.
Yeah, you know, yeah,
the wrestlers
wear
wrestling boots.
Yeah.
And so your product isn't going to be in the ring.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, when they have interminable soliloquies to camera, which seems to be 90% of what makes Monday Night Raw these days.
You do say that, but I mean, and obviously there will be no substitute for wrestling shoes. But I mean, I have this list of people here. We'll go through a few more.
All right.
Shane McMahon is a classic, and he always wore Jordan 3s. I actually found an interview with him as well online where he referenced it being his favorite shoe, and he said he had multiples of like every Jordan 3. And this was like 5 or 6 years ago when they got retroed the first, or probably like not the first time, but like probably the second or third time.
Does it count when your dad's a billionaire though?
What? Just like because he can get them as much as he wants? No, I still think it's cool that he was in the ring when he was like wearing, like throwing his like super elbows off the top rope in his Jordan 3s.
The fact that he was getting his neck broken in Jordan 3s.
Now, did he break his neck? It wasn't on the jumbo. It wasn't on the Titantron. It was on the...
No, I think it was when he was flipped backwards.
Yeah.
And he landed head first on the steel grating.
That's it.
Below the Titantron.
What a psycho. Yeah, so he always wore Jordan 3.
I don't think he has any... involvement in professional
I think I've asked you this
anymore.
Recently. I'm surprised he hasn't turned up in any of these storylines.
Just doing some corporate thing now in Japan, I think.
Yeah. Now, Kofi Kingston notoriously wears LeBrons. So he wore the LeBron 9 and the LeBron 9 Elite, the taxi colorway, because I think it was like matched his yellow uniform or whatever. But he also wore the KD3 in a similar colorway. So he rocks them. Kevin Nash is another one I found online. So he used to rock the Infrared 6 in the NWO days.
Yeah, right.
And then before that, it was the KG3, the Kevin Garnett 3, because it was like blue and black. Setuna Morella, I think, wore something very similar to that as well. And then he rocked like Jordan 11s, Jordan 13s as well. So Kevin Nash used to wear a ton of Jordans. Nikki Bella last year at the Night of Champions rocked a red Dunk High, which I thought was weird, like Dunk. And then someone I have to reference because her poster is still on my wall in the studio is Stacey Keibler. Did like an iconic photo shoot for Soul Collector in 2004. So many of these references are from 2004. Where she was wearing a sample unreleased Jordan 11 low in white pink. And there's that famous picture of her like bending over the ropes, getting in the ring in black shocks as well. And I'm pretty sure she wore sneakers for quite a while.
No one's looking at the shocks.
No one's looking at the shocks.
No one's looking at the shocks.
She had like 51 inch legs or something obscene. So yeah, there's a ton of sneakers. But that, so like, I mean, even if you don't endorse everybody, I mean, if you look at the current roster, you could get Cena back in shoes. Mm. Who else is there that's big? I mean, we were just talking about this before. It's not what it used to be, but I'm sure you could get Daniel Bryan in shoes. I don't know. There's got to be a way to make it work. There has to be. Mm. I don't know.
Mm. I can only think of one official sneaker brand collaboration, that was with World Championship Wrestling in the early 90s.
Yeah.
When Sneaker Freaker did a big feature on kangaroos a few years back, we unearthed it and we found a poster advertising I think it was a company-wide sponsorship.
It was company-wide, you're right.
They actually produced a series of shoes based around a number of different athletes on their roster.
Yep.
In fact, if you watch the Road Warriors DVD, one of the special features at the end, it's all about this shoe. It's all about the kangaroo's Road Warrior shoe, which was just a high top kangaroo's kick with bolts and you know, spiky nails sticking out of it.
It was amazing. It was just a classic series of videos. I actually found this last night or the night before, and so Sting, it was like there was like 4 or 5 10-15 second commercials. Sting, Lex Luger, I think, before it became Luther, when he had to change his name, when he changed companies.
The most hated man in professional wrestling.
Is he really?
No one has a good word to say about
really?
Lex Luger.
Really? So he's like, who was the other one we were talking about recently that everyone despised? Oh, who was it? We watched a doco. Oh, it was the Ultimate Warrior, right? Prior to like his current Hall of Fame run and unfortunate demise. Yeah. So
that was just because the guy was batshit crazy.
Yeah,
whereas
true.
Luger just...
He's a terrible bloke.
Just the way he operated. No one has a good word for Lex Luger.
So his video, his ruse video, he's sitting there flexing and then rips a column down out of a building, like a support column, and walks off with it. It's pretty great. Sting's is hilarious because it's pre-vigilante Sting. And he's like surfer Sting, and he's got the blonde, classic Sting. And he's like way out, dude, and like it's hilarious. And then you've got the best one, probably Rick Steiner's though. Before he became like Big Papa Pump, became like that steroid ridden like pedo dude, touchy feely dude. He was the college wrestler with like the ear protectors, and he's running around on all fours barking at dogs. It's freaking hilarious. The commercials amazing.
Oh, they were funny, the Steiners, when they were doing the Ivy League college thing.
Yeah.
In WCW.
So I don't remember too much of that.
And they had the water polo things over the years.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not the wrestling thing, it's the water polo.
They were funny.
Yeah.
But then he just morphed into this just this meathead.
Yeah, it was, and then like just super hit the roids, couldn't stop touching Stacey Keibler. That's all I can remember is just like him being like offensively grabby with every girl in the locker room. And didn't he get fired or suspended at some point in time for that? I'm pretty sure he did.
I can't recall. It's
pretty
possible.
Sure he did. My little cousin is obsessed with wrestling at the moment, and he has like the like ultimate companion, and like the kid's memory for wrestling content is incredible.
Mm.
And he's just like, he like spits out facts like that all the time. He's like, did you know da-da-da was suspended? I'm like, no, I didn't. Like
facts about assault charges.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, well played. Well played, mate. Yeah. I totally have forgotten about most of that stuff, but that commercial was hilarious. And then there was also a recent collab, which I don't know how official it was. It was the Jordan brand Aeroflight. Collab.
Yeah, it didn't get. We're talking 2012.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was official.
I don't think it was either.
Because I don't think they actually used the names of the wrestlers in the release.
No,
but it was clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly, you know, it was clearly a tribute to Hogan, Macho Man. Jake the Snake had one too.
Yeah, and the Road Warriors.
And the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
Had a metallic version.
They did.
It was...
They were horrible, Anthony, let's be honest. Yeah,
that probably sums it up best. Just a bland shoe. The shoe is bland. And it was one of those really, gratuitous sort of pop culture crossovers.
Yeah.
Where they're just trying to, you know, spice up a shoe that really doesn't have any interest.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, like we see all these special edition, like Air Trainer 3s, Air Trainer 1s, SC, like whatever's. There's no reason they couldn't crush an Ultimate Warrior shoe.
No, that's right.
I mean, I could design the pants off that thing. Like, that's a no-brainer. Like, any of these guys that existed in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s, had such outrageous costumes and stories that it'd be like,
oh, it's so rich,
dude.
It's so rich. But the base model you use has to have some design integrity to it, or else, you know, you can't substitute for a shoe that doesn't have any flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it doesn't matter how loud it is, or you know, you can how candy coated.
Yeah, not an Aeroflight Jordan brand shoe.
You know, I mean, I can barely remember
the shoe was hard. It's completely forgettable. Model. Like most Team Jordan stuff.
The Aeroflight, if you put that up against one of John Cena's, bubblegum Kmart shoes, I mean, take up the Jordan brand logo, which is the thing that's probably selling it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, is there much of a distinction there?
I wouldn't, yeah. Oh, well. Look, just about anything that looked good against Cena's Kmart shoes. I mean, I looked them up. God, they're horrible. But yeah, it's an interesting concept. It seemed like it was one of those things where someone did it in Jordan brand and then it just got the nickname and everyone ran with it in the marketing, kind of like how they're promoting that new Jordan 7 as the Sweater 7, where it's actually like a t-shirt that Jordan wore, but like it got nicknamed the Sweater before, like the t-shirt picture leaked, like went back online. So everyone got it wrong, but everyone's calling it the Sweater. But yeah, look, I mean, I'd love to see it. I would buy all, like a whole series. If you do like Air Trainer 1, Air Trainer 2, Air Trainer 3, SC2, at least they're cross-training shoes. Like, and then you gave like four guys from the 90s a shoe each. Like, because those shoes have so many like contrasting panels and the plastic like wings and stuff, you could wreck that. A Macho Man shoe is no brainer. There's so many awesome costumes. His sunglasses, like Bret Hart, for the same reason. You could do a whole series based on like guys' eyewear.
And that's the thing. I mean, all of these wrestlers, they'll design icons.
Yeah.
You know, they created a character that's endured for 30 years.
Yeah.
It would be a no brainer.
Yeah.
To distill that into, you know, any product.
I've been wanting to do a custom for Randy for years, and I just hadn't got around to it. But maybe I should just.
Oh, this is the year. This is the year.
Yeah, yeah. You especially know, going into the Hall of Fame. Inducted. Yeah, damn. Yeah, I got a gig I forgot to mention too, but we'll get to that at the end. Maybe I'll do it for that this weekend. I should have time this week. But yeah, it's a no brainer. I mean, there's so much. I just the zigzag pattern on his glasses with the oh man, it'd be so great on a shoe. It's perfect. But yeah, I would love to see that. And like, it doesn't have to be like a whole brand endorsement, brand like company wide sort of sponsorship. But it really does surprise me. I know the WWE extremely strict when it comes to third party endorsements. You see there those guests and whatever, and every now and then they'll have like a brand shout out. That must cost a ton of money. Yeah. Because I know none of the wrestlers are allowed to wear branded content. They're not allowed to wear anything branded.
No, that's right.
Yeah, which is why some of these guys wearing shoes is a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a company that doesn't really... it doesn't leak money.
No,
you know, it's not definitely. Gonna, it's not going to do anything unless it's making some coin out of it. So, yeah, it's probably more focused on its own thing.
Yeah.
Than trying to, you know...
They did make some shoes.
Pony up and with commercial partners.
They did make some shoes a couple of years back, and I the only thing I remember about it is it had like an actual picture of John Cena on the side. It was horrible. It looked like an Air Monarch.
I'm
like
sure
a Nike
they made
shoe.
Shoes. In fact, I've got an early 90s WWF mail order catalog.
Do you?
Somewhere in my office. I'm sure there's probably...
We should open that up.
I'm
before
sure
this.
There's a corny pair of...
There's,
you know,
gotta be.
Tracks wannabes.
I tried to find some... I tried to find some online last night before doing this, and I couldn't find any. I like coming up with WWE shoe, all it came up with like was John Cena's shoes, and I was like, I've looked at a page of these. It's time to close this thread. there was no more searching left in me after that. And I guess we'll quickly jump on to some dream wrestler collabs.
I'll tell you, one other person who's worn kicks in the ring is Nigo.
Oh, really?
Nigo, in the early 2000s, had his own wrestling promotion in Japan.
You quickly mentioned this. I don't remember this.
It was like just a few, it wasn't a, you know, a full year circuit. It was just like a few special
events,
yep. Concerts. But it was a partnership with All Japan Wrestling.
Oh wow!
Which was run by the great Muta.
Okay. Who, wow.
You'd know if you were watching WCW in the early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got a videotape where it ends with Nigo in the ring. And the Muta just cracks him in half.
What? Really? So Nigo like actually got in the wrestling.
Yeah,
like...
it's a very small man being molested by an infinitely larger man.
Is there anything Nigo can't do?
Dude, this was when, I mean, this was
2000s, like the prime of
this is
Bape,
when Bape,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And see, this is why Bape was just the coolest thing out for me in the early 2000s, because you've got this subterranean streetwear label.
Yeah.
But throwing wrestling events.
Yeah.
And the wrestling ring was all...
Oh, tell me it was Bape camo.
It was Bape camo.
No, was it actually Bape camo?
I'll show you.
Oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
It looked insane. But, you know, they were throwing wrestling shows. They're doing, you know, music with Mo Wax.
Really?
It was like this...
Had Mo Wax, Jesus.
Yeah, they
the Teriyaki Boys rung up. Oh, well, this was eventually later
that
on.
Was
yeah.
later. That
was later.
That
yeah,
was
later.
After you know, the world was kind of
true.
You know,
on board
rocking Babesters, 2005. But it was just, you know, it's what streetwear was, and that is like a secret code.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's this cool world that only a few have access to.
Yeah, yeah.
But if
yeah.
you're in it, you know. You can kind of interact with all these people who are in it too. You know, if you see someone wearing a Futura tee,
sure.
You know, there's a bond there.
Yeah.
It was a secret thing, whereas now it's been subsumed by high fashion and, you know, it's lost a lot of its interest.
That's so funny. So when you mentioned that, as soon as you mentioned Nigo, the only question I had was the Matt Bape camo? That was like all I wanted to know.
And you knew it was.
Oh, I knew it was going to be Bape camo. Was it like green Bape camo? Was it?
I can't recall.
Oh my God. That's so good.
We'll run the tape.
I'll try and I'll see if I can find a picture. If not, I'll take a screenshot on my phone of the TV and I'll add it to my post on the blog. That sounds incredible. Nigo, man, that guy's had an amazing career. Now over at Adidas, maybe not so much, but. Wow, that takes me back. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I think that's one of the things we originally became mates over many, many years ago was Bape. It's funny how many guys like I've become friends with over like Japanese labels in like the early 2000s because, as you'd say, that was before anyone else knew about it. And you're right. If I walked down Chapel Street or something in 2002 and I saw someone in a Bape shirt, you like, what's up? Like, that guy knows what's
up. They know what time they know what time is.
Well, that was, and like, the internet wasn't even prevalent back then, right?
So I mean, this was before a bathing ape became a parody of itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Which it kind of is now.
Oh, it absolutely
but,
is.
But, you know, this was right at the moment when, it was. Hypebeast was just starting around 04, 05.
Yeah.
You know, Slam Hype, which is where I started when I was in Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
That just started.
That's how we became mates, wasn't it?
It was a different world.
Yeah.
Pre-internet.
Yeah, and that's...
Like, I can remember getting a copy of Refill magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a Bape special.
Yeah.
So somehow they gained access to a bathing ape.
Which is incredible,
I think they had an interview with Nigo. And I thought, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just couldn't find anything about the brand online.
Yeah, absolutely. I used to send my dad used to travel a lot for business. And I was in 2000, I was like 15, 16. And I used to send my dad, like probably a couple of years later, 2003, 2004, when I was about 18, I used to send my dad to like BBC, in Hong Kong and Japan and stuff. And he'd travel. Half the time he'd walk into the store and they just wouldn't serve him.
How do you find the stores? Because this is the other thing that's changed in their business model, pre Bapesters.
Yeah.
Because the Bapester is a thing that made Bape global.
Yeah.
All the Bape stores
were
like secret hideouts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which made it so much cooler. Whereas now they're kind of, you know, they're garishly lit. They're kind of like pop culture supermarkets.
They are. That's exactly what they are. That's a great way to put it.
They're really in your face. But I remember when I first came to Japan in 2005, looking for the Osaka Bape store.
Yeah.
And this was, I think they just started making their e-mooks.
You know, those magazines
the maps of their store locations.
Yeah.
And none of those were on the newsstands.
Sure.
So I had to actually go searching for this store.
Yeah.
And I was searching for weeks, knowing roughly the neighborhood where it must be.
Yeah.
And then I see this steel staircase.
Yeah.
That just goes up into the side of a building.
Yeah.
There's no signage.
Yeah.
I walk up the staircase and the door is white except for a tiny bathing ape sign. And then it slides back like you're on the bridge of a Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was the Star Trek door.
And you walk into this pure, blinding white room.
That's
not a large room, but this white room with all, you know, sparsely appointed with, you know, whatever was on sale that week.
Yeah.
And it was just, it made you want to buy stuff.
It did, right? You felt special when you walked in.
You wanted a souvenir of this experience.
Yeah.
And all the stores were subtly different.
Yes, definitely. They all have personalities.
Yeah, like
each store.
The Kyoto one, there was this, you had to enter through this dark tunnel and it was like a club because they had like this music just pounding from the walls. And then you turn the corner and you see the light. You know, you enter this, again, small retail space. It was just a really exciting retail environment.
Yeah, wow. So I think for me, like, I've roughly similar thing, found out pretty much where they were. And then, like, in the strip, or at least. And then my dad doesn't. He's ruthless. Yeah. He doesn't care. I think he just literally would ask people. And then, like, we'd just find out where it was. And the instructions were purely, like, you spend $1,000.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, whatever, spend $1,000. Which I used to work as a janitor in a bakery and then at Target, which was a lot of money for me back then.
For you to do. See, I never encountered that. I never encountered any pressure to purchase in any of their stores. And I found all the staff to be really super friendly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, my dad was, like, 40. And like, obviously stood out and had no idea what was going on.
Mm.
He'd be like, Bapester? Like, you know, because I have no idea what's going on. But to his credit, man, what a trooper. He used to come back with a whole bunch of different shoes and stuff for me. And he would even keep the boxes. To this day, I've still got a whole bunch of the stuff he bought in like early 2000s.
Good man.
Can't wear it now. Like, my taste has changed so severely. I can't wear all over print t-shirts and stuff anymore. But I've still got a lot of that stuff from in moderation. 10, 12 years ago.
You got to wear that stuff in moderation.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I'll wait for like a 90s party or something to pop up and we'll rip that out.
That's
But yeah, that's crazy. I've definitely got to look into that more. So you've got a video of that tournament, do you? Or one of the tournaments. Sick. Yeah. I have to watch some of that before I leave. And then we'll jump into the Dream Wrestler collabs. So this was actually a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. In my head, I was like, this is going to be easy. It wasn't easy. I only came up with like five I like.
Yeah, right. See, I was thinking more in terms of past releases that could have been collabs.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, I did pretty much.
As in actual. I mean, I've got a few that,
You
know.
Okay, okay.
A few different ones, but actual shoes that complement the character of that wrestler.
Yes. Okay. I have one or two. Oh, I have a bit whatever. Let's just do it. All right. You want to kick it off? Because you sounds like you have more than me.
Well, all right. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, who is the franchise currently in the WWE.
Yeah.
You want a shoe that's made for prime time ass kicking. You know, something that's a beast of a shoe.
Yeah.
That's animalistic.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Charles Barkley, either the Air Max 2 CB, but probably more fittingly the Air Max CB 34.
Yes, with the Godzilla teeth.
It's got that animalistic look to it,
And
you've got that blaring red airbag.
Yeah, both of them are great. The first one has the I'm not a role model in the outsole, which would be perfect for Brock Lesnar.
Totally, wouldn't it?
And then the second one, the CB 34, has the Godzilla teeth, which is also, as you say, perfect. Yeah. I have those.
Which would totally sync up with his tattoo.
Especially because they're black, right? They're black. They fit with what he wears. I mean, he really only wears straight black these days, and with his cannons out and his penis tattoo on his chest. But yeah, okay, that's cool. Right, my first one is pretty much picked specifically because of the name of the shoe. So it's going to be for the Ultimate Warrior, who represented not only terrible wrestling technique, but just pure madness and an insanity. So the Reebok Insta Pump Fury.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty good get.
Yeah, so mainly purely because the shoe had the name Fury in it, but I could also see some of the crazy colorways going with his shoelace wraps around his arms and his crazy face paint colors, and you could easily match that up with the shoes. And then him just running down to the ring with those, I was like, that works. Him just shaking the ring and trying to get gassed before he even gets in the ring, so he's got no energy left to wrestle.
I could see him wearing What the Dunks.
Yeah.
Because What the Dunk was the reaction to most of his most of his bits.
Did people always say he couldn't wrestle? Like that seems to be the majority of the criticism
that's
of him, right?
On him, but he was a danger in the ring.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, anytime I hear
probably overplayed, sure. But
yeah. Still has one of the best intro musics for shock and awe anyway. Like if someone was getting beat down or the Royal Rumble was on, you hear you knew it was going down.
Everyone wishes that was their entrance music.
It really is. I can't think of many better, really, ever.
If I'm going to a job interview, that's what I want. That's what I want blaring as they open the door.
Yeah, as soon as I get in the car, I want that on. That's great. That's hilarious. All right, who's next? Who you got next?
Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
What's Andre going to wear? Probably the only thing that will support his crushing weight would be the bring back pump. You are going to need some sort of pneumatic support if you are going to sustain Andre the Giant.
Yeah, you don't want to get flat.
No.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, man, I have no idea. And do they make them in size 25? I guess they would have to because of Shaq, right?
Yeah.
That's... Okay, nice. My next one is Jake the Snake and the Nike Air Python. It looked like the Air Jordan 2. And it was Python skin. Look, I mean, it was not overly creative. There was a million shoes that used Python skin, but this shoe was actually called the Air Python. So I was like, well, that's the one I'll pick. There's also a great Air Force 2, which has Python skin. And then there was also the Anaconda Air Force 1 and stuff. But the Air Python's a bit higher. It looks a bit more like a basketball shoe. So I thought it would be a bit more appropriate.
I'm thinking the ZX Flux Xeno.
Oh, see, that works as well.
You know, you could do something using that skin.
Yeah, it's true.
That
upper.
The Anacondas, you got to say the Anacondas for Ric Flair.
Yeah.
The Nature Boy.
Yeah, true.
If anyone's going to wear a $10,000 shoe.
Yeah, okay. Limousine riding. Yeah, nice. All right.
Just stealing.
Dude, I still get pumped when he comes back. Who have you got next?
Hogan.
Okay.
You know what? Hogan. A real American.
Yeah.
Made in America. It's got to be a made in America New Balance 574.
I had the same thing.
Red and yellow custom.
I had the same thing. Yeah, sick. Nice. Yeah, the made in America was my clincher to that. That was the line. Yeah, nice. Have you ever seen, this is completely off topic, have you ever seen the Opie and Anthony video where they get sent the pictures of Hogan kicking down the World Trade Centers? And they have you listened to Opie and Anthony?
No, I haven't, but I've seen the pics.
Okay, yeah.
Life-changing.
Oh my God. Like, obviously it's a horrible topic to laugh about, but if you know Opie and Anthony, you'll get the context, and it's an incredible 8 minutes of audio of like professional stand-up comedians losing it. It's hilarious. So next for me, so Randy Savage. Look, I wanted to put Randy in something ridiculous like the Puma Disc or like the Pump Fury or something that looked crazy, but I thought the shoe that would match his colorway and style best, stealing them from Batista, would be the 28 or the Jordan 8. And the reason being is they both had paneling with very severe line work. So you could represent and replicate the colors of his jackets and sunglasses perfectly. So neither of them are overly aesthetically fantastic shoes. The 8 takes way too long to put on. The 28's horrible. But the way that the patterning was done on the shoes, the midsole, like the lower of the 8 and the upper of the 28, I thought you could pretty much just color in the existing pattern work to match him perfectly. And they'd already been worn in the ring by someone. So I was like, okay, well, we'll just go with that.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Who else have I got? Sting, the Stinger.
Yeah, okay.
An existing shoe that would just fit his whole crow look.
Yeah.
The Neighborhood Adidas Gazelles.
Oh, yeah, 06. Okay. Yeah.
Black shoe. With that lightning bolt down the midsole.
Did anyone ever crack it about Sting legitimately just ripping off the crow? Like, did that ever get addressed?
I don't
like,
think it was ever brought
I
up.
Really don't think it was ever addressed.
But I mean, it's not the... wrestling has a long history of, you know, gimmicks being based off film and TV.
Oh, yeah,
TV.
But has there ever been a career more blatantly... like ripped off a movie, like I like obviously
well, the Road Warriors is
oh well, yeah
know, it's straight
true.
Out of
yeah Mad Max. Yeah that's true I guess. Oh man, I just remember that like dramatic switch in personality. I think I remember that episode like where he became like Sting and yeah I was just sitting there going, I think I was only like 10 and I had like an unlimited video shop rental, so I'd seen all these movies I shouldn't have seen at a very young age, and I'd seen The Crow and I was just like, oh, it's The Crow. I was like, isn't Brandon Lee dead? No, apparently.
I think the motion picture industry owed professional wrestling something.
Yeah.
After that RoboCop crossover in the early 90s.
Oh, my
when
God.
When RoboCop actually appeared in WCW.
Oh, my God. And wrestled. No one else in the world will remember that. I had totally forgotten about that. My God. And then Hulk was in what, Rocky IV?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Many years before later, isn't
his,
it? Yeah.
Rocky III, before his...
Three.
Return to the WWF.
Yeah. Oh my God, I gotta find that RoboCop thing. That's gonna be amazing.
Dude, it's a black day for professional wrestling.
What, more of a black day than all these stupid guest appearances that they have now, which are just offensively awkward? And and what about, you wanna talk about offensive? We got the WrestleMania coming up and the Hall of Fame. The celebrity ring of the Hall of Fame is the most insulting thing in the world. I'm sorry.
Who's being inducted?
This year? Yeah. Who gives a shit? Like, who cares? Like, Drew Carey 2 years ago? Get out of my life. Who was it last year? Like, was it Tyson? Mike Tyson? Oh, that was a few years ago.
Oh, that's legit.
No, it was fine. No, well, he used to wrestle. That was fine.
That was a big moment for the company.
No, that was, yeah, I remember that. But Drew Carey, get out of my life. Mr. T, oh, that was a bit, no, that wasn't too bad.
That's completely legit.
That wasn't too bad. But yeah, you get where I'm going with that. I'm sorry. Like, just scrap that
Look,
whole thing.
Look, so long as Jay Leno is never inducted.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if he is.
The day that, who was it? I think it was Terry Funk. Terry Funk said the day that Jay Leno got the immortal Hulk Hogan locked in an armbar was the day that professional wrestling ceased to exist.
Thank you, Terry Funk.
That was the day that wrestling officially died.
That's the day when, like, back then people didn't know if it was real or not. That's the day you know that it's not real. Okay, next one for me was DDP and the Penny One.
I am.
I was just like, matches his colorway and like style properly. You can rock it with jeans and a black singlet. It's the right color. Yeah, I thought that was a no-brainer. For a guy with like bleach blonde hair, tight jeans, Penny Ones, I was like, that totally fits into like the 90s rock sort of thing. Don't know if you can do yoga in them, but definitely fine for wrestling, I'd say.
Do you know anyone who's subscribed to the DDP yoga program?
No.
And has had their life
changed
forever?
I don't think I've ever met anyone that has subscribed to anything like that and had their life changed by anything ever. No. Oh, it seems to have worked for the NWO boys, but nah, I don't know. They pushed it quite hard for a couple of weeks on the WWE. I was surprised. I was like, they're either...
It would have been part of the deal for when DDP came back,
right? Yeah, that was going to be my thing, yeah. Yeah. Do you have any others?
Here's one. Here's a left field one. The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, okay. I tried to do him and I couldn't think of anything but crazy boots.
No, and the craziest boots I can think of are the Nike Appears riding boots.
Oh,
they
Jesus.
Were the equestrian boots for Nike made for the 2008 Olympics.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They are, it would fit, you know, the whole Wild West
vibe, which is
the origins of The Undertaker.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, long, dark, a little bit futuristic, but it's just... you know, it fits his silhouette. He's a tall guy.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
He can't
true.
Be wearing something that's stocky.
What's he, 6'9", 6'10"? It's pretty big, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sweet. Well, I've run out. Do you have any others?
I
tried to come up with one for Rick Rude, but I just couldn't. I wanted something for Rick Rude so bad.
Something ravishing.
Something ravishing and rude. Like, it was like a no, but I just couldn't. Like, nothing popped into my head. I was pretty disappointed about my.
What would you put Austin in? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, he has to have a boot too, and that's part of the problem. Like, that's the same reason I couldn't come up with something for The Undertaker, because I was like, they legit wear Doc Martin-esque boots. Yeah, I was like, well, it's Doc Martin.
You know what I'd put him in? Undefeated Air Jordan 4.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I reckon...
With the dark green.
It would fit his whole... Because he often would wear the deer hunting jacket cut-off, you know, camo pants.
Yeah.
You know, the olive, the milk.
Shawn Michaels could almost do the same thing these days.
Yeah.
I guess. He keeps popping up in his weird hunting uniform.
But it's a tough looking shoe too.
It is, yeah. I think there's rumour they're going to retro it this year.
They'll retro everything.
Yeah, I know they will, yeah. Jordan Brand do retro everything. The City Pack Jordan 10s are the latest rumour that are coming back, which I'm excited about. I wanted the Sacramento pair. Couldn't afford them back in the day. Any others?
Oh, I think that's it.
All right,
see. I think I'm done.
Well, we might wrap it up there because we're on about time. But to those of you who enjoyed this, thank you for going on to not only one level of nerdy, but two levels of...
Well, it's like professional wrestling is like this. To those who know it and love it, no explanation is necessary.
True.
For those who don't know it and do not love it, no explanation will ever suffice.
And I think on that note, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for doing the podcast, Anthony.
Thanks,
man. And just remember, if you have any questions or if you have any topic suggestions for the next episode, hit us up with the hashtag SecureDPodcast on Twitter or @SecureD. And if we use your topic next week, we'll shout you out. Cheers.